Hello and welcome to another podcast from Woodies.com, the leading encyclopedia and learning center for information technology. I'm Alex Howard, assistant editor at Woodies.com. In the next few minutes, you'll learn what a mesh network is, how it's being used in wireless communications, and what experts say about its future. Today's podcast is sponsored by Tesco. Get wired into everything wireless with Tesco, your source for thousands of wireless products from hundreds of manufacturers. Tesco's new wireless guide makes it easy to find and compare the best wireless products for your application and budget. For more information, visit www.tessco.com. And now, what is a wireless mesh network? In 1995, Victor Pirabon patented a design he called the Massive Array Cellular System, or MACS, MAX. Pirabon intended his invention to be a disruptive technology that would replace all commercial communication services with a free, user-owned, and operated infrastructure. Victor's design was radical. His topology, or the shape of the network, made every node on that network both a client and a server. We call that topology a mesh network. It was immediately apparent that the design had real potential for commercial wireless communication services. In Pirabon's array, each mobile user became a communications node, relaying and delivering data to other mobile users. The nodes actually serve as repeaters to transmit data and voice greater distances. The networking infrastructure is decentralized and simplified because each node only needs to transmit as far as the next node. Mesh networks turned out to be reliable and inherently redundant. If one node can no longer operate, all the rest can still communicate with each other, directly or through one or more intermediate nodes. The traffic moves similarly to the way that packets are transmitted on the internet, and hops from one device to the next until they reach their final destination. In a full mesh topology, each node communicates with every other node, not just back and forth to a central router. In another variation, called a partial mesh network, nodes communicate with all nearby nodes, but not distant ones. These two types of wireless mesh networking have the potential to work in difficult environments. For example, a wireless mesh network could allow people in remote areas or small businesses operating in rural neighborhoods to connect their networks together for affordable internet access. In emergency situations, wireless mesh networks can be quickly deployed where needed. The benefits offered by mesh infrastructure make wireless mesh a practical alternative for many reasons. For instance, a wireless mesh topology can provide lower infrastructure costs, easy scalability, collaborative redundant backup, the ability to configure routes dynamically, lower power requirements, and increased reliability. If one node drops out of the network, its neighbors simply find another route. So, what's going on with wireless mesh networking now? In Redmond, Cambridge, and Silicon Valley, Microsoft is working on what it calls self-organizing neighborhood wireless mesh networks. The network is created with a mesh connectivity layer, or MCL for short. It's a loadable Microsoft Windows driver that lets users communicate over a wireless mesh network using Wi-Fi or WiMAX services. The MCL driver acts as a virtual network adapter. It tricks the computer into thinking it's directly connected to an internet connection. Routing is done using a protocol called Link Quality Source Routing, or LQSR, which is a Microsoft adaptation of the Dynamic Source Routing, or DSR, protocol. The MCL system is being developed by Microsoft in conjunction with several major universities for computers that use the Windows operating system. MCL holds promise for people in remote areas who have not previously had access to high-speed internet services. With MCL, a wireless mesh network can be connected to the internet through a single computer using a leased T1 line or broadband satellite connection, allow all users on the network access to high-speed internet. In theory, a small company could lease a T1 line or commercial broadband satellite service and then sell high-speed internet service to members of the neighborhood for a modest fee. If there are enough users in the network, this fee could be competitive with individual medium-speed satellite internet connections. Wireless mesh networks are gaining momentum as hundreds of municipalities plan and implement mesh Wi-Fi for public internet access, public safety, and business communications. MuniWireless.com reports that by February 2006, 186 U.S. cities and counties had implemented municipal wireless broadband networks, with many more on the way. It's expected that U.S. and international customers will adopt wireless mesh networks on a broad scale, as first-generation wireless networks cannot provide the low latency, high bandwidth, and resilience the latest broadband applications require. This concludes our podcast. To learn more about mesh networks and wireless networking architecture, we encourage you to visit our sponsor's website, www.tessco.com. Thanks for listening.